Hello, everybody. My name is Renu Gulati. I'm a UK lawyer, and we run a firm by the name of RG Legal. We primarily work in the area of immigration to India and to the UK, and we have a team of lawyers with collectively about 50 to 60 years of experience in immigration. And today our topic is going to be about business visas and the possibility of setting up a business and what the immigration requirements are in India. And my guest today is advocate Anupama Gautam, who is based in Dehradun in North India, in Uttarakhand. And she will be addressing some of the issues. Anupama, would you like to say a little bit more about yourself?
Nothing much. It's just that I'm in the field of law from past around more than 24 years. And we've been taking different fields of law into work. And let's see what discussion can lead the conclusion to. And
sure. So you know, with the current state of affairs, you know, the media is saying, some media is not saying, that a lot of the business from China may be diverted into other Asian countries such as India. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, it is a possibility, but not that strong as the media is putting it, because see, the Chinese race is of course closer to the natives of Philippines or Cambodia or Vietnam or Myanmar. These are also the places where the business can be diverted to, depending on what kind of policies are being offered by different countries. In India, about two decades ago, we had many, many restrictive policies where foreign direct investments were not being done that freely. But past 20 years or so, we have opened our markets. And with this pandemic, post-pandemic situation, of course, there is a likelihood, but not that strong as is being portrayed by the media.
Right. Yeah. Okay, but in the foreseeable future, whether or not that happens, there mm-hmm. are a lot of people who are interested in setting up business here because they see India as a developing nation. So would you be able to talk a little bit about what the eligibility is for such a visa?
Okay, see, as I said, India has yet to frame many policies post-pandemic, right? Yes. Pre-pandemic policies are certainly there, where many, many norms have been liberalized. There are many different aspects and many different areas in which the investments are already being done. And we look forward to have more of those. And the very important sector is that of service sector, which is the most vast sector, I would say, and where the foreign direct investment would be helping not only the investors, but also the persons who will be benefited, the beneficiaries, the consumers rather. And of course, India is these days a preferred investment destination. And India certainly is also, India through the External Affairs Ministry, there is a department, which is an investment and technology promotion division. That particular department is quite instrumental in bringing in a lot of trade, in bringing in a lot of technology pre-pandemic also. But as of now, looking into the situation that India offers cheap labor, India offers cheap raw material, India offers an acceptance to the outsiders, India offers lots of resources which need to be exploited, which need to be kind of, you know, put to the most utilization. For not only the Indian masses, but also for those who would be investing in India. So, of course, that way India is a very promising destination, and it is an emerging economy. And particularly with this, the shift that we are now expecting, a shift of trade, certainly India who's already providing for different visas, which include this. We have a business visa, we have employment visa, we have project visa, entry visa, conference visa, tourist visa. So these, you know, the business visa, employment visa, conference visa, these visas certainly give an opportunity for those who wish to come into India, who wish to kind of see and assess what would be the fruit they will be getting in case they invest in India. As India has already been providing for a business visa, which is basically a multiple entry, but a span of 5 years, we do expect, we do see, we can anticipate that this might, they extend this year window from 5 to maybe 7 to maybe 10 years. And certainly, then they, India can also give this visa on arrival for certain, already we have policies with certain countries, but more of the countries to be invited to India for direct investments and all, India can certainly give more more conditions, more liberalization into the conditions of arrival into India, right? And to simplify the norms where a person doesn't have to spend more time into the administrative side of it and less time into the work side of it. So I think that balance would certainly be maintained. Already, not only service sector, we are already looking forward to have automobile sector, biotechnology. Already we are doing some part. Then education, electronics, then food processing, and most important is medicine. The kind of, you know, the health structure India has been following from past so many years also, and of late, after the coming of this this unprecedented situation that we all are facing today, India has been already a market to health services also. And investment in this field would not only bear results, but also would provide an environment which would be more friendly towards the health, towards a healthy living, a better lifestyle. And of course, everything would come incidental to all these things, because now probably everyone has realized that health needs to be at the front. So first of all, health has to be taken care of. So everything will follow eventually. So now this investment in these sectors would certainly be by the countries, those who wish to shift their stand from China to India, they have not only the options, those are already they had in China, but more than what the China offers, India will be able to offer, certainly.
And do you think India has the infrastructure to offer the same quality and speed of service as China?
See, the thing is, one aspect where India lacks is the discipline in the workforce, which is much more prevalent amongst the Chinese workers, right? But yes, infrastructure-wise, India has been working on this sector from past around 7 to 8 years, fiercely. And they've been trying to bring up the country to a level where they can compete, where we can compete with the Chinese counterpart. And see, earlier, even China has faced this kind of an unorganized labor, unskilled labor situations. But of late, because they are a dictator, they've been able to put discipline into everybody's system, atrociously sometimes, yes. But in India, it being a democratic country, it takes a bit of time in organizing people, in channelizing their energy into the right situation, into the right direction. But with the situation that we are facing these days, probably this is not that difficult for us to put the workforce to skill, to organize behavior and all. Then I don't think infrastructure would pose much of a problem in the times to come, because these you know, 3 months of lockdown already has put people to a sort of norms into their living, that is sanitization, putting a mask, keeping things clean around, and these small things have already been put into the system of Indians. So I don't think infrastructure would pose much of a problem in the times to come. It may take some 5 to 8 months more so that, you know, they are that we understand and we rationalize what it would mean to get business from the outside countries to India and to stop this channel to go to the other countries like China.
Mm-hmm. And also, what about in the educational sector? Because a lot of universities, for example, from I certainly know from the UK, are setting up branches mm-hmm. here in India. Do you think that will flourish too?
Certainly, those will flourish. Indians from the very ancient times have known the importance of education. Unfortunately, the advent of so many of the attackers from time to time, education took a backseat. But Indians do realize the importance of education. And as of now, the literacy rate has also gone up to 74%, which was not there past 20, 25 years back. And of course, higher education plus the IT sector, if we see it fairly, in the entire world, many, many countries have employed Indians into the education part or into the technology or into the research wing. So Indians basically have an inclination towards education. Unfortunately, with a lot of population, with the less of facilities, etc., not everybody could get this education. But with the situation change, the change in the situation, and these universities coming to India, certainly, I think this trade of theirs will also flourish. It will have an upward swing.
Right. Yeah. And one problem people are facing with regard to the Indian visa system is the time that it takes to acquire a business visa. For example, you know, in the UK, now they're going to create a new system after the exit from the EU. And they're going to make it much more speedy so that people don't give up on the process, because time is of the essence. And so, you know, the immigration, the MHA is notorious for being a bit slow. And so business people will not be able to withstand that. I mean, do you think that's going to improve?
Certainly it will. See, till now, India did not make that much effort to snatch business from other countries and to bring those to our own country, right? But again, as I said, the change of situation, the change of entire scenario, India will certainly revise its visa norms. Earlier, say around 20 years back, the norms India was following were much more complicated, which have been liberalized eventually. Past 7 years, 2013-14, if we see, not only the liberalization again has been at its highest, but also the many steps were simplified to obtain these business visa, to obtain visa for certain time span. Visas incidental to the projects, those were being set up in India. Plus, our Prime Minister, who's reached out to different countries in the span of 6 to 7 years, more of the business has been invited into India. Plus, with the slogan of Make in India, not Made in India, Make in India. That is giving them an opportunity that you come into India and then make, then manufacture. When we are making this, we are extending an invitation like this, then of course we have to simplify the visa norms. We have to bring it within the time frame. And once this, and this policy, I feel that would be certainly workable and soon. It will not take much time into simplifying these things, because we see in this span of two and a half months, the entire economy has been shaken up badly. And we would want to revive as soon as we can, right? And for that, this is an important aspect, that we liberalize the entry into India, the foreign trade be brought into India, the foreign investment be brought into India. And without simplifying these visa norms, without making these time specific, we will not be able to do it. So this is an important aspect, and I look forward to it simplified. Most likely by the end of this year itself, we will see this change.
Right. And what would be the minimum investment? Is there a minimum investment on business visas?
Investment means you want to know the processing fees and all.
No, like, I mean, in order to, I mean, one could say one wants to start a business. I mean,
ah, yes, yes. See, Okay.
How much would you be required to invest? Because I'm sure you just can't get a visa by investing a business visa by getting very little.
Certainly. See, when the economic package was announced this last month in May, 20 lakhs crores was released for Indians, right? That time one norm was also highlighted, which was less than 100 crores. It has to be totally the internal trade, right? Anything beyond, that means the foreign investment has to start from 100 crores. That is the minimum. That is the entry level, right? If a 100 crore investment is to be made, then getting a business visa would be easy.
Right. So small businesses wouldn't have a chance?
Not much at this point of time, because India wants innovations to happen. India wants internal trade to boom. And that is the reason that this cap has been placed. But it may not be forever. It may be for a certain point of time till India regains its own self for some time. You know, because at this point of time, the economy is not in a very good shape all over the world. And certainly, it also. Beyond 100 crore business visa would be easy. But maybe it is for a certain few years, maybe a year, 2 years, or maybe 3 years, depending on how fast the economy regains its strength.
And this business visa would entitle people to businessmen to come and stay in the UK in India indefinitely, or they would be pure.
No, normally, see, any commercial activity that happens within the countries or between the countries rather, when such activities happen, these are always time specific. No country can grant a visa forever to any of the counterparts, right?
So yes, yes.
In India, they are also following this. The only condition that can be relaxed is how many entries can be made in that span of time. Like the business visa being issued or being granted in India, it's as of now is for 5 years and multiple entries. So there is no restriction to the entries. Yes, this span can be, of course, escalated when they have put a tab on the minimum investment. Then certainly a policy wherein this 5 year span can be raised to maybe 7 years, maybe 10 years. But for that, we need to wait for the policy to come. I mean, any change in the policy. Ongoing policy says multiple entries for 5 years. And after 5 years, a renewal can happen depending on what has the firm or the investor done in the span of 5 years that was initially given to him for business.
And would the investor be allowed to stay in India for the whole duration of the business visa, or would there be a 188-day exit issue?
See, I think it will depend on what kind of business is being proposed. If the business that is being proposed requires the presence for that longer time that he has to be there for more than 180 days at a stretch, then of course that condition can be sufficed. But I don't think any trade requires so much of presence of the foreign investor. So I think this, for the time being, this 180 days norm may be adhered to. And I think then 180 days and then going back and coming back, because multiple entries are allowed, I don't think they will have a problem. With a little break of 2 weeks or 4 weeks or 3 weeks or something like that, one can come back and continue with the work. I don't think that will pose much of a bottleneck into the working of the business, whatever the proposal of business be.
Right. And are there in the UK, for example, we have categories of not just businessmen, but of people who want to come and stay in India, stay in the UK, and they invest £1 million. They are just investors. They don't necessarily have to do a business, but they are just investors. Is there any such category here, where you can just come and invest and have the right to stay?
Yes, of course, the countries do allow such things, but why would somebody invest if he doesn't want to carry on the business? It has to be either an NGO, it has to be purely a service purpose. In that case, a person would not require business visa, no?
Category, yes.
Yeah, then one has to come under different category, of course.
And in terms of the employment sector, is there any way that a person could get a visa based on special skills?
Yes, of course. India has been already providing for not only business visa, but employment visa, which is incidental to the span of employment. For how long he has been employed in India, that long he can get a visa. Same is the situation with the project visa. Like we are having the metro projects going on. Certain projects in different parts of India in which the tie-ups are with the countries, the foreign countries. So long as the project continues, the visa is granted. And in the project visa, it's not a visa for one person. It's a visa for the people who would be doing their work in that project. Then we have a conference visa where a person can stay in India for as long as the conference is to continue. That conference may be a one sitting conference, 10 sitting conference, or whatever it be. Then is the entry visa. Who would want somebody want to come into India? So they have to show, are they coming for the health? Are they coming for the welfare? Are they coming for anything else? Plus the tourist visa. The tourist visa is a specific visa. As you know, in all the countries, it is again incidental to the span they wish to stay for the tourism part of it. That's all. It's just a visitor visa. So, but if for work somebody is planning to come, then there are these three, basically the three of these, that is business, employment and project visa.
Right. And what about volunteers? I know this was not the topic of the subject, but do you have any information on volunteer visas?
See, volunteer visas, again, why would they want to come into India? A person who's not born in India, who's not a citizen of India, why would he want to come into India? That is important. So that query is to be satisfied. If somebody is coming, why? Because he or she is attracted towards the spiritual part of India.
Yes,
or he or she is attracted towards the health part of India. Or he or she wants to come and do the service like Mother Teresa did.
Yes, right? Philanthropic,
yes. Yeah. So volunteer visas are also there. The government grants it, but one has to have a reason to come, no?
Government
certainly granting such visas. But then there are so many NGOs working through these visas.
Because it seems like there are a lot of people working as volunteers in India without working voluntarily in India without a visa. So that's not actually permissible, because no work, paid or unpaid, is allowed unless you get a visa. Is that correct?
Certainly. See, visa is basically what? It is a permission that a country grants to a citizen of another country to stay in his country. So if we see a very small unit, that's our own house. If we are allowing somebody to come into the house, and we need to know why. So the government is also working on that common sense parlance, right? So in that, government would certainly want to know why would somebody want to come in India? It has to be... after all, some kind of an earning. That earning may be in terms of money. That earning may be in terms of peace of mind. That earning may be in terms of service. Some kind of a welfare. But one has to show those requirements he has to fulfill. Government certainly is granting all the permissions to people of different arenas. And not only the government is looking forward to business, but certainly, if the government is allowing anybody to come into India directly or indirectly, government is also making an earning out of that. So the government certainly allows people to come visit India, be in India for what reason? That reason has to be stated clearly, so that depending on that reason, the particular visa can be issued.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And do any of these visas, business or work related, do they ensure that providing the financial requirements are met in terms of the business being successful? Do they ensure that the individual can continue indefinitely? We don't want a situation where there's an investor, his business is going well, and then the visa gets terminated? Is it something that can continue for a lifetime, provided the business continues to meet the financial criteria?
No, actually, as I told you earlier also, that these visas are time-specific visas. And whenever these are renewed, then there are again yes. certain norms those required to be satisfied.
Yeah. Right?
Somebody has obtained visa, and thereafter the business that for which the visa was obtained, the business basically could not take off. Then why would government allow a loss-making person to continue?
I'm saying successful businesses. Yeah, they would progressively be given renewals.
Certainly. Yes. See, anybody who would be coming overseas, coming to India or going to any other country, would certainly have a workable plan. And unfortunate conditions sometimes come up, which are totally unseen, unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Then the business may not run as has been assessed or as has been estimated by the person who's entering into another country for a business purpose. Mm-hmm. That is something which is beyond anybody's control for that matter. And if those reasons are sufficient for a renewal, that government gives another opportunity, okay, you try and make up the loss so that the government who's allowed you to do the business also gain something out of it. They may give a renewal also. But one has to make a proper case out of that as to why the business visa is required or why his business visa should be renewed with all the bottlenecks, all the failures he suffered in the first periodical span.
Right. Okay. Is there anything else you would like to say on the subject of business visas? Work-related visas?
Work-related visas anywhere, not only in India, but in any other country also. One has to fulfill many conditions on that. The only difference is, as you said earlier, was the time, which is an essence basically. Unless someone adheres to that time limit, certainly anybody who's trying to come into a country, if he is wasting 1 year or 2 years or 3 years into obtaining a visa, then by that time he loses the proposal will lose its sheen altogether. So certainly this is one very important aspect, that if the government allows the business visas, then that process has to be simplified and it has to be made time specific. It may be made conditional that in the first 6 months or in first 1 year, in case a review of the grant of visa is carried out and the person who has entered the country does not satisfy the government for whatever, in case there are any loopholes or any defaults have been committed by him. And if he's not able to, then one can take action. But spending a huge time on granting the business visa is something which requires a very considerable, considerate review. And I think another 5 to 6 months after, we will see many changes in the policy, shift certain norms towards the workable norms, right? So that way, I think it will be easier for government also to lure the investors to come into India and to offer these services. And certainly with any such kind of entries into the country would be lucrative for the persons who are coming into the country and also for the natives of the country. So business visa norms need to be simplified and time specifically.
And do you think, now a lot of applications are being done online and a lot of people are doing them themselves. Do you think that the process would be expedited if people use an experienced lawyer for this purpose? Do you think it will be expedited?
Certainly the process will be expedited. And of course, see, the presence of lawyers cannot be wiped away. Reason being, certain conditions, as a layman, we understand in a different connotation. As a lawyer, we understand totally in a different way. And for expediting the applications and also for giving a proper reason using the correct kind of a language, which gets the permission granted. Services of lawyer would certainly make a lot of difference in getting these things done. Applying online is easy. But again, though our literacy rate has improved, but it's not very easy for everybody. Not everybody can file application online, even now. If we see, okay, those who have been into, who are born and brought up at the time when the IT has taken an upswing, they may understand the children as, today's children, they know, even a child of 10 years would know how to apply online. But though we are a country of youths, but we do have, you know, people, 40 plus people also, a huge population of 40, 50 plus. And they are the ones who are into experience. Not every business can be a startup business. Those who are experienced may not be acquainted with the technical part of the working. So, of course, they would not be able to file applications online.
Yeah.
So certainly, they would require services either of a computer operator who can help them with filing of the applications or of a lawyer who can help them drafting the applications.
Yes.
That's format provided would be, yes, the format provided is one aspect. That is these to be fulfilled. But how to write all those answers against the queries? Services of lawyer would certainly be a great help to the person who's applying for all these.
Yes, and also the lawyer would be able to chase up the matter to expedite it more than the individual, I imagine.
Absolutely, absolutely. See, I would want to share an experience that, as laymen, if I am to see something about the medicine, let's say if we talk about the ongoing pandemic medicine, I would be hitting certain sites and I would collect information in bits and pieces from different sites. And I can assume that information to be my knowledge. That, okay, I have become knowledgeable enough to compete with a doctor, but it is not true. A doctor would know what salt, a doctor would know how much dosage, a doctor would know what combination, a doctor would know this person is allergic or not. We randomly would be telling everybody, oh, go and take this medicine. Makes no sense. Same is the situation when it comes to filing of any application or doing any documentation. Anybody can do it. A person who has an access to the language, who has an access to the knowledge, which is available on the internet for everybody. But putting everything properly, keeping it in that chronology and highlighting what is important and not concealing, but putting it on a lighter side. Aspect where that part is not highlighted much, which can put one person to a refusal of visa and all. So one has to play very smartly, carefully, and technically with the words so that one gets what one wants. And without a lawyer, it may not be that easy to get, right?
That's right. And if there is a refusal, then the case would go to appeal?
Rejection of visa, certainly. You see, any application, if the order is not in favor of the person who's seeking that order, there is an appellate authority. And finally, after the appeal or the revision, whatever the remedies are provided, even after that, if one doesn't get what one wants, but the reasons have to be given for that. If the refusal is being made, then on what basis the refusal has been made? Then one has to make good that default or deficiency. And if that is cleared, then one can apply again. But there are certain time limits on that. So after appeal, first appeal, if it is not allowed, then one can go for the higher remedy. The hierarchy of remedies are available depending on who the first trial authority is. Right?
So to reduce that risk, it's better to take the
advice. Services, certainly.
Yeah. Okay, that's been very helpful, Anupamaji.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank you for participating.
Thank you so much.
And anybody who out there who would like our assistance, we're here for you. We can give you a short free consultation just to guide you in the right direction. And then we can take it from there. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay, Anupama, so we'll just, this bit now we're going to edit away. But I was wondering, like, there's also, like, the situation now, and I didn't want to ask you because we were on the subject of business, but there's a lot of, like, people in Rishikesh who are freaking out about, like, wanting to stay. They're, like, type of spiritually type people. Okay. And they want to stay, and now the government has given them a stay until the end of June. Okay. And then they don't know what's going to happen. So even if people's visas have expired, they're allowed to stay till the end of June.
All right.
But so, you know, and so people are saying, what will happen after that? I don't want to leave India. Will I be able to go to Nepal? Like, I've got a friend who's got a multiple entry 10-year visa to enter India from the US. It's just a visitor visa.
Okay.
And like in the UK, you can't actually, on a visitor visa, you can't spend more than 180 days in the UK, even okay. if you have a multiple entry UK visa. But in India, you can just pop out the country for a day, go to Nepal, get it renewed and come back. Yes. And then you can spend, you know, practically 364 days in India. So,
yeah.
So like this friend of mine, his visa, his multiple entry 10 years, he's been living in India for 10 years and it will be expiring in November.
They have, yes, they have enhanced yeah. that span, yes.
Yeah, so that's something we could do something on when you've done some research. But it's all up in the air in the moment. At the moment. I don't even know if there's any research possible. Because what he's thinking is that what will happen at the end of June when the international flights open, will he be able to go to Nepal? It depends on each country's border restrictions and then renew, you know, so that he can return because he's already been in the country for more than 180 days.
Okay.
So that's another thing. And the mm-hmm. other topic that people are interested in is that they want to come and study spirituality or they want to come and do voluntary work. And a lot of like tourists are doing voluntary work here, you know, illegally.
Okay.
So
that's
another issue we could address. Yeah, and people also want like study visas to come and study at an ashram or something. You know, and they're not sure how to get those ashrams, and I think those ashrams have to be approved by the MHA or something. You can't just have some small ashram invite somebody to come and study 5 years on Vedanta or something.
Yeah, so, actually, till now we didn't have any such queries here. No, it's so did not have to go inside that, go deep into this field. So now is this important aspect, and I'll also be studying this now with this point in my mind that if tomorrow there is somebody who requires guidance on these issues, then I should be able to provide them with that, right?
Yeah.
So I will be going through all this, and let me have some good books also on this, so that some case laws, etc. where we can help out people who wish to immigrate or who wish to come on a visitor visa or come on the entry visa or come for a business or something like that. But as I understand, more of them are interested into the education visa, right?
Yeah.
Let's see, study visa, education visa, what will be norms. But I think, again, I feel that maybe in another 3-4 months time, there will be many policy decisions on this aspect also. Certainly,
yeah,
would want as many investment, as much investment as it can get, right?
Yeah. And the other thing that's happening in India is like the UK have opened up its system to get more, you know, highly skilled people. Well, it's gonna, the legislation will be passed by the end of the year and be implemented in early January next year. And they're trying to get the highest, you know, level of skills into their country. you know, okay. obviously to make it more economically strong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that there'll be a brain drain. There's already a brain drain in India.
Yes, there has been. But now I think, as we were discussing earlier also, now it will have a reverse, this thing. It will have a reverse swing now. Because if the students are provided infrastructure in India itself, and the universities from abroad are coming to India, obviously they are going to provide an infrastructure better than what the universities are offering as of now. So, yeah. Possibility of brain drain would lessen then. I remember in 1998, Australia had set its foot into India and had come to pick up students from India so that they could offer this education to the Indian students, meaning thereby getting investment into Australia from students from another country.
Yeah.
Same now, similar situation is the other way around, that now they will not come to pick up the students, they will come to provide the platform, that is the institutions itself.
Exactly, they've already started, yes.
Yes, it'll be fruitful for both. The, so, and obviously, as many number of institutions come into India, those which are already running would also try and provide that kind of a competitive environment also, no? And I mean, the facilities, the courses, the opportunities, of course, everything will be certainly better than after these universities also come into India, no?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, that's the biggest problem with the MHA or the embassies abroad, is the length of time it takes to get the visas. It's just
long time.
Yeah, it's just so slow. So so let's see if that improves. And yeah, it'll have to improve if they want to attract funds into. And skills into India. And you know, like a lot of people, like I've got a friend who's got an Ayurveda center here, you know, it's one of the best ones in Rishikesh, okay. by the name of Ayurveda Bhavan. Uh-huh. And, you know, he's Russian and he's a business investor. And, you know, it's been running for many, many years, but it's suffering a big hit because of COVID. But, you know, people like him, I mean, people are really interested also in investing in setting up yoga centers and Ayurveda centers, because I see mm-hmm. them as very, very lucrative. And a lot of people have married, I don't know whether it's a genuine marriage or just a marriage of convenience, but they've married people, Indians, in order to be able to go through the back route of getting the OCI and then being able to do the business. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if, you know, there was a way they could do it without having to go through the back route as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that's another area that needs to be looked at. And also, I was wondering, I used to do an international event management for a while here, and I used to have these big international groups. They would come on a tourist visa. They'd bring all these people. They would, you know, collect all their funds in the US or whichever mm-hmm. country.
Mm-hmm.
They would collect all their funds there, and you know, they would do the retreats here. But all the money would go into their country of origin. So, you know, India would be deprived of that, you know, income.
Ah, yes, in case it so happens. But
yeah,
I think that's long time too.
Shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen.
It will not happen. See, India is not only about offering these kinds of situations, but India has that, it's in the roots, it's in the soil. You cannot pick up the soil and lowly go, isn't it?
When
they try and set up a center in any other country, but from where would they get the vibes?
Yeah.
So, I mean, those which are deep rooted into the soil of India are in India only, no?
Yeah.
And if they take the trade out of India, That is the trade of Ayurveda and other things. If they take trade out of it, certainly it is going to have some replacement in India also. No?
Yeah, but they're collecting, you know, hundreds and thousands of pounds in their own country and then bringing them here for the vibes and, you know, Rishikesh and Varanasi, etc., etc. But all the money is going into their own country. So that seems to be a kind of something that I'm not happy about, but I don't know what can be done.
Don't worry. Taking out a glass full of water from the entire sea would not dry the sea up. But it needs to be taken care of. The government is not very much caring so far as these things are concerned. Otherwise, the basmati would not have been patented by the USA. So India needs to take care of these things. Neem, haldi, these are being patented by the US. And India keeps watching. I mean, that part is not acceptable. But then our political system is such that, after the things happen, we come to know about these. We don't even know. We don't even for the patenting of these things. Yeah. And we have, if we go into that direction, we have so many. I mean, it's a whole series of these. We can get these done. But then, we are a nation in slumber mostly.
We get up only in slumber. We get up only when there's a crisis, right?
Yeah, it is. When there is no other option, then only we get up. No, otherwise, we don't mind just closing our eyes on everything. That's the reason that so many attackers came and ruled. Yeah. That is the reason.
but the heritage is so ethical and, work-oriented and Varanashram Dharma and everything. You know, that everyone needs to do their, appropriate duty, etc. I don't know how it went into slumber, but that's another conversation.
It requires a lot of research.
So there's a lot of people who just want to stay here forever and, they don't have the money, but they just want to stay here forever and, practice their spirituality or so-called spirituality. And they're always looking for ways, but they're not necessarily people of high income status, So they often don't want to pay that much for their visa assistance, but...
It's important, yes. Okay, go through this field all the more and let's see. I mean, more such queries we would be then able to answer, no? Let me also now read about this field more.
Yeah, okay, that's great. And one day I would love you to do something about spirituality, work is worship.
Sure. Any day, anytime. In fact, your podcast is on Sundays only.
No, any day.
Okay, we'll talk about this. No problem at all. I can talk about spirituality as much. I mean, there's no problem.
Yeah, like the integration, because Westerners come here and it's like black or white. Either you're spiritual or you're not spiritual, And I want to talk about the integrated, spiritual, material, if you like, way of life.